you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Anthony Smith. I mean, yes, we know it's his podcast. He doesn't show up Monday, rocks up on a Thursday whenever he wants, and then like he's telling me to get my shit together. Lighthawk Smith, what's going on?
What is up? I am in the blistering fucking heat of North Carolina. Like right on the, it's close to the South Carolina border. Down here in the South, it is fucking hot. Yeah. It's hot everywhere, I think. But like Omaha's pretty hot, but I feel like it's hotter here. Maybe we're closer to the sun. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, the equator is south of where south? I am. Yeah, so yeah. We're getting further away, but it doesn't matter. No, it is hot everywhere. In the UK right now, I think it's like 32 degrees Celsius, which is about, I don't know, 85, 86 in Fahrenheit. They are not used to that kind of heat out there. You know what I mean? Trust me. Everyone just complains. People in England are miserable bastards because of the weather. Trust me. I used to bitch about it all the time because it rains a lot and it's cold, you know, and they just crave sunshine, you know. That's why when Brits go abroad on holiday, all they do is lie by the pool and worship the sun for 2 weeks. They don't move. But when the sun does come out, like now, they all complain.
And now they're bitching.
They start bitching. They're like, this is ridiculous. Like there's someone up there controlling the thermostat. You know, like, my family members are like, this is ridiculous. This, how are you meant to sleep in this? Do you know? But to be fair, none of the houses have air conditioning or anything like
right.
that. Right. They're not designed.
Because they don't really need it. Yeah, it's and people here are just super used to it. Like, I'm the one bitching. Like, in the gym, there's no AC here. And it's like, I'm just fucking dying. Like, I've lost like, I don't know, probably 10 pounds of just water weight. I can't keep it on because I'm just sweating. I'm going through like 5 t-shirts a training session.
I was going to say.
It's insane.
That's going to be good for the weight cut.
It's definitely good for my weight. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So Omaha, Nebraska, though, I'm assuming it gets hot there.
Yeah, it's pretty hot there too. It gets pretty humid in Omaha too, but here it's different. Like I take a shower in the gym. I cool off. I sit in front of that's the kind of piece of shit I am. I'm taking forever to leave the gym because I just sit in front of the fan and die until I'm cooled off. Then I shower, I take a cold shower, walk outside, dripping fucking wet again. Like, I don't even know why I changed.
Oh, I know. I hate that. In summer, I used to be like that in England. When I train, you go have a shower, you get dressed, and you're still soaking like 20 minutes later. What about winters in Omaha, Nebraska?
I bet they're harsh. Yeah, they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad. So, depending on the year, some years are better than others. We usually get a lot of snow and it gets pretty cold. Last winter was really, really cold. We had like 2 straight weeks where we were like 10 below zero.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cold.
And by the way, people in the UK or elsewhere, anywhere that uses Celsius, Brian, just look up what is minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit in Celsius? Because that's like minus 30 or 40, I think, which is fucking wild. I think like the coldest it gets in the UK in Celsius is about 9, something like that. But that's rare, you know.
Right.
But the reason I asked is you made me think when you said, oh, yeah, the gym here doesn't have AC. And I wanted to ask you about where you train in winter. Because when I was training in England, oh, my God, this place I used to train, because it would rain all the time and the roof would leak. So there'd be massive, we'd go to train in the morning, there'd be massive puddles on the mat, which would then freeze overnight and turn to ice. You know what I mean? And it was just so miserable, man. You're running around, you'd have socks on because you didn't want to, you know, we didn't have wrestling boots, but, you know, we were freezing. And then what would happen is you warm up And then the instructor, the jiu-jitsu instructor, whatever, would be showing a technique. So you stop. And then it's so cold that when you start working out again, people were pulling, tearing ligaments and tendons left, right, and center.
Oh, I bet. Well, we got good heat. We got good heat in the gym. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about that. But again, even in Omaha, AC is not so great. And my coaches are assholes. They're like, nah, you guys got to deal with this shit and make it tougher.
It makes it tougher.
Yeah. God damn. I'm
and
such
it costs
a pansy.
Money to put it on. It costs money.
I'm such a pussy though. I think I just overheat. I think I just overheat.
But that's a male problem, isn't it? I'm always hot. I am always. Rebecca says I'm always doing this. I'm always
constantly. Yeah, always with your shirt. Always.
Because she fucking controls the air conditioning in the house. She has an app on her phone. So I don't have it. Yeah. I mean, I could download it, but that's a whole thing. Do you know what I mean? I can just walk around the corner and go boom, 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 change it a few things. And she just slyly puts it right back. You know what I mean? She does. She does. Because I go, I said, what the hell?
She's like, oh, I'm just on Instagram. You're like, next thing you know, you're fucking overheating.
Fucking bitch. Fucking bitch.
God damn it.
Anyway, you weren't here on Monday. You left me to host the show with Mike Harrington. Okay, but we got through it. It was actually a pretty good show. But you were loading it up like the big celebrity that you are, Mr. WWE being hosted by your family. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so so my kids have gotten my 7-year-old and the 5-year-old, for whatever reason, have gotten like super into WWE. I was really into it when I was younger, but I haven't really pushed it on them at all. But you know, they kind of just found it organically. And my 7-year-old is just insane about the whole thing. So they were coming to Nebraska, like about 30 miles from my house. And so I just reached out to my management. Like, hey, you think you like give me some decent tickets? Like, I'll pay for them, but I just want good seats.
Yeah.
The WWE came back, comped all the seats, front row, like right to the ring. Front row, right next to the ring. So like, it was cool watching the whole production though, because like the first wrestler will come out. And then there's a commercial break. So they're on the USA Network. So there's a pretty long commercial. So then the wrestler's just in there trying to stay warm. So like Matt Riddle was in the ring. And
yeah, go on.
So Matt Riddle was in the ring. Well, then he looks over and he was like, hey, I know you. And so he comes over and like gives everyone high fives. Bobby Lashley did the same thing because I've trained with him a little bit in Denver.
Yeah.
And then Becky Lynch was wrestling. We were a little bit late. So she was wrestling while we were sitting down, and then she ended up having to wrestle again, like in the main event. And she came over and she like kind of looked at me and she was like, do you fight? And I just nodded my head. So then she came over like after she lost and like fist bumped my kids. And my 7-year-old is a huge Becky Lynch fan and just lost her fucking shit. Like, I thought she was going to cry. She was so happy.
Brian, if you're there, just bring up a picture of Becky Lynch. I have no context. I have no idea what she looks like at all, but continue, please.
Well, my 7-year-old thinks she's like Becky Lynch because Becky Lynch has red hair and my 7-year-old has red hair. So like she feels a connection to Becky Lynch. So it was honestly one of the funner things we've done as a family.
And there's Becky Lynch herself looking like,
she's from Dublin.
Is she really? She's Irish. Yeah,
she's Irish. Yeah.
She did. Well, I guess she got red hair. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was just going to mention them, but I didn't want to interrupt. Brad Riddle.
Matt Riddle. His name?
Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Brad Riddle's fighting next weekend, I think.
He's a badass.
No, he's fighting Jalen Turner. Shout out Jalen, the Tarantula Turner.
That'd be a good fight.
It's going to be a good one. But anyway, who was it? What's his name? Riddle?
Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. So he used to be in the UFC, didn't he? And now he's like, somebody just mentioned this to me, funnily enough, last week. Oh, no, he's like a WWE superstar now. Is that
superstar.
Right?
Superstar. Yeah. Really? Yeah. He's like a tag team partner with Randy Orton, who obviously is, you know, a goddamn superstar. And like, he's funny, like on the microphone. He kind of plays this high guy. So he, like, everything is bro, and he talks real slow, like he's stoned the whole time, which is funny because that's why he got cut from the UFC, because he kept failing his weed tests. He was super cool to me and my family, though.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well done. Always nice to see fighters doing well after, you know, the fight career. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Just bring up his MMA record. I'm curious to know what it ended on, because I know
he came through the Ultimate Fighter too, I think.
Yeah, and he was talking a bit of shit, I think. He was going back and forth with Dana from if I remember rightly. So, hey, fucking, that's amazing. I know nothing about WWE. I'll be honest. I do not see. I'm sure if you go to a live show, I'm sure it's.
Yeah, it's way different live. Yeah. I can't watch it on TV, but.
But. And if you are a pro wrestling fan watching this and you think, Bisping, you don't know what you're talking about, I do not see the obsession that grown men have. And we're talking 40, 50-year-old guys. You know what I mean? Granted, right. They're single. They're virgins. They've never, you know what I mean? But they're obsessed with this. Like Ariel Helwani, Daniel Cormier, Zach Candido at the UFC, all the staff, they fucking love WWE. And I'm like, I just cannot. For the love of God, I tried sitting Lucas down one day to watch it because I thought he'll like it. When I was a kid in the 80s, I loved Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But you grow up, you realize it's nonsense, you know? And even Lucas wouldn't entertain it. I struggle to see the attraction for a grown man.
In person, I can appreciate the art and the kind of the performance.
Theatrics of it.
Because it's like some of the shots these guys were taking, like, they kind of just get the shit beat out of them. Like, even though it is kind of choreographed and it's, you know, this isn't a real fight, but, you know, Bobby Lashley one time, so fun. There's this wrestler, his name's Otis.
He's a big bastard as well, isn't he? Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley's fucking huge. But he was wrestling this other guy named Otis. Otis wrestled in WrestleMania. So my kids watch that. Well, Otis is this really fat white guy. Like, arms are all out to here because he's so big. Pretty athletic for his size, too, but he's got to be 400 pounds. And it's all fat. It kind of looks like Butterbean. But the baby, our baby, is a fat little bald white thing. So my kids think that, like, they're like, oh my God, the baby looks like Otis because it's just fat and bald and chubby and rolls, you know? So my kids have been calling the baby Otis forever. So Otis comes out and they lose their fucking minds, right? So he's wrestling Bobby Lashley, who's a buddy of mine. And Bobby, this was it. So Bobby, yeah,
you were messing. Otis could lose a few pounds.
Yeah. So Otis throws Bobby right up against the guardrail, right in front of me. Spills my beers all over my shoes, and Bobby hangs over the edge, and he looks me right in the eyes and said, "Fuck, I need to go back to fighting," because he's getting the shit beat out of him. You know, it's tough.
Oh yeah, yeah. Listen, 100%. I certainly admire, and I do, I'm sure it's grueling. The schedule that they're on, it's nonstop, and I've seen it. I have, you know, the actual, you know, to pull off those moves and to make it look as real or as close to real as they can make it. Yeah, it's hard. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body. The storylines get me.
The storylines get me. Like, I can't get into, because it's all bullshit. You know what I mean? So, like, I know this beef is fake. Like, the actual performance of them wrestling, I totally can appreciate that and how hard it is and the athletic ability it takes. The storyline's kind of getting me a little bit.
I've seen the wrestler. I know how hard it is on the body. You know what I mean? I've seen Mickey Rourke popping those pain pills. It's a good fucking movie, by the way. Bobby Lashley, it's funny you mentioned him. I worked with Bobby Lashley. The first movie that I ever did, I had no idea what I was doing. It was called Beatdown. It's 90 minutes of your life that you'll never get back, so I don't suggest you go and see it. But Bobby Lashley was in it. He was one of my opponents. I think I knee-bar him in the end or something like that, but he's a nice guy.
Big Super bastard. Nice guy. Big Fuck, bastard. He's big. So big. Oh, I mean, and they're all big. Like, even the little guy that was with that Otis, in the picture, you've seen him, like, off to the side. When he's up there, he looks big, or he looks small. But then as he walked by me, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy's fucking big too. Matt Riddle's pretty big.
Look at that guy.
Damn.
I mean,
I've done strength and conditioning with him.
Oh, yeah.
I've done strength and conditioning with him one time. It was fucking terrifying. Because not only is he, like, insanely strong, he moves really well for his size.
No, he's very agile.
Yeah, watching a guy that size move that way.
And he had a fair few fights as well, didn't he?
Yeah, Bellator. He's pretty good. Yeah. I think he was undefeated.
Yeah. Because when you see guys that big, and this might sound weird to some people, if you work out a lot, if you know about weights and strength and conditioning and all the rest of it, just because you're big doesn't necessarily mean you're strong. But then some of those big guys are ridiculously strong. Like, there's a guy called Mike O'Hearn. I'm not sure if you know who he is. A very, very famous bodybuilder. Came on the show as a guest. Great guy, by the way. And fucking hell, I've lifted weights with him a few times. I've never felt so puny and pathetic in my life. And then the thing is as well, is that because he does a YouTube channel and all the rest of it, you know, everything's being filmed. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah, I was working
at the Fox Studios. I had a few beers the night before. I rolled down to Venice Beach in the morning. I'm like, oh God, I'm feeling like shit. And they're like, he's squatting to warm up like fucking six plates either side. Oh. He's doing it super fucking easy, like it's nothing. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, that was
like, I'll take one of those, please.
Yeah. Can I have a 25-pound plate, please? I've got bad knees. Anyway, Harrington, regrettably, show yourself, please. Let's take a look at you today.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Not much. Come on then.
You're ugly.
Whoa.
Sorry. I'm just fucking with you.
People are defending Harrington very vigorously in the comments. We see that. It's called banter, you fucking idiots.
Also, they don't know him. So
I was just going to say that. I'm like, they don't actually know him, though. No.
Ryan with the one-liners and the genius and to the point every single time. That's the thing. I mean, like, I'm at home. Anthony Smith is, you're training for your fight. You're in North Carolina, right? You're training with Chris Weidman, Wonderboy Thompson, amongst many others, as well as popping down the local WWE hotspot, right? But you're on the road. You logged in, you hit the thing, you look good, you sound good. Harrington's actually at the studio, you know? You should have seen the shit show, Brian. Talk them through it.
At the moment, for some reason, it looks like Harrington has a hand cam on. It was very shaky a second ago.
It looks good.
It's just he doesn't show up early enough to get his shit together to make him look this pretty.
Yeah.
I think Airbnb.
I mean, that was it. That was it. He's offended now. Now that's it. Thick skin. He can only take so much. You know what I mean? The straw that broke the camel's back was insulting the fucking light and visual audio quality of the Gas Digital Studios. That was it. It's like, you can slag my mum off. You can call me every name under the sun. You can take a shit on me from a giant height. But don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare insult Gas Digital Studios. No one's insulting the studios, Harrington. We're just saying, that was comical listening to Brian shout at you.
It's a user error.
correct. Anyway, how are you, Harrington? You well, buddy?
I'm great. I like my little spaceship look here. It took some time, but I'm glad I settled in on this.
You look fantastic. Thank you, sir. Contrary to what Anthony says, that's just straight up bullying, Anthony.
He's lying.
All right, real quick, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. Listen, you know the drill by now. If you know your way around a car, if you open up the bonnet, as we say in England, and you see the engine and you're not blown away and you want to work on it and you need parts, maybe it's an exhaust, maybe it's a carbonator, maybe it's a crankshaft position sensor. Yeah, that's a real car part, trust me, because mine broke once. Whatever it is you need, then you got to go to rockauto.com because they've been in business for 20 years. That's because you can literally get everything you might need for a car. Anything at all, they have it, but they also have it at the best possible prices. That's why, of course, they've been in business for over 20 years. When you go to rockauto.com, make sure to tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there. So, of course, we can remain in partnerships with them. But rockauto.com, anything that you need for a car, that is where you want to go. rockauto.com. That's the website. All right, where were we? What's going on, Anthony, with the training camp? Because I saw not the training camp. I saw you were annoyed. You saw the odds recently.
Yeah. I don't get it. I just don't fucking get it. I don't know what people see in my fight styles or abilities that just make me like there shouldn't be any. And maybe this is my own arrogance or my own ego.
Hold on. For those people that don't know, just what are the odds? Because they need to know what we're talking about. Because the odds came out and I saw that you were you're plus 350.
Plus 350.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty wide.
And what is he? Minus? Just have a look, Brian, if you don't mind. Please.
Yeah, I don't know what he is, but I just seem like that's a pretty big underdog. And I don't know what people have seen recently for sure in my fighting ability that is that would put me a minus or a plus 350. Again, I think that's less about, I know that the odds work in different ways and that's where they expect the money to come in. And a minus 400 is what Harrington said. Uncle Ice, a minus 400.
So I mean, minus 400 and you're plus 350. I mean, that is wide. That's crazy.
Fucking wide. Like, there shouldn't be anyone in the division that I'm a plus 350 or whatever it is now.
No, you know,
that just seems crazy to me.
You wouldn't be that wide against a champ.
No, that's what I don't. Yeah, no way.
And that is with nothing but respect to Jiří Procházka. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I have a ton of respect for the guy, but I don't think. Well, that's not even an insulting thing to say. I mean, that's fucking mm-hmm. wide. Yes, Magomed Ankalaev is good. He's had a great career. So have you. And what do you want now? A 3-fight win streak.
Three
and
finishes.
What was the last one? Ryan Spann. And you fucked him up.
Yeah. And
I like Ryan Spann, and just in case he sees the show.
Yeah, he doesn't like me. Well, I don't mind him. I don't mind him.
Oh, do you guys not get along?
No, I mean, I'm over it. We see each other, and he won't. Like, typically, you see, like, a former opponent or something. At least it's like, hey, bro, what's up? How are you? You know, whatever. But he just looks at me and just turns and goes the other way. I don't think he likes me very much. No. But, whatever. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it was just, I don't know. And not that it fucking really matters. It doesn't change the fight at all. It doesn't change anything. But it is irritating. For sure.
But do you let that like seep into your, well, I mean, does it really bother you though? Because I used to just, I think almost every one of my fights, I was the underdog. I was always discounted or counted mm-hmm. out, whatever you want to say. But it never bothered me. I was like, yeah, fuck it. They don't know. In fact, if anything, it just gave me more motivation to prove everybody wrong.
I think that's where I'm at too. I fight really well when I'm a little irritated. Or something's bugging me, or someone's pissed me off, or whatever. This is one of those things that's just irritating. We're just like, fucking Christ! Like when at some point in time, you know. And honestly, you're probably one of the best people to talk to it about. Like, I feel like there was a lot of situations in your career where you were kind of written off, even up to the moment right before you won your title, like up to that night. So
constantly.
Yeah, I think I ride that fire really well into fights. So it's like, okay, cool. Like that's all I need is more motivation. So just keep on feeding me. But at the same time, it is like that. What the fuck are these people watching? Like, I don't know what they're watching.
Excuse me. Well, I'm not sitting here to kiss your ass. You know what I mean? But I don't get it either, to be quite frank. I mean, it's not like you're, I don't know, I don't want to single somebody out that's going to be offensive to them. Do you know what
right.
I mean? But like, it's not like you're not capable. It's not like you're not gigantic for the division. You've got great jiu-jitsu. You've got fucking awesome striking, tons of experience, and you're mm-hmm. still a fucking young man. It's not like right. you've got one eye, no knees, and half a neck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And if you even look at him, no, not to disrespect him or discredit him, because he is very, very dangerous. He's really tough. He does a lot of things really, really well. But he's not crazy, crazy dangerous as far as he's not finishing people recently. You know, he had a really tough fight with Krylov, who I have a lot of respect for, but he's not necessarily elite. You know, he kind of a snoozer with Thiago Santos, which who does kind of make fights tough, but it's not like he's barbecuing people lately. Mm. You know, he's so whatever. You know,
I think it's those feelings. Two fights that he had with Ivan Kutalaba. That really right. set his stock so high, because Kutalaba's a fucking wild man, but he just lost recently as well, didn't he? I forget who he lost to. He's kind of up and down, Kutalaba. He's so unpredictable and
he's a 500 guy. Kutalaba's like a 500 guy. He's if he catches you, he'll give you a problem. But
and Ankalaev had two good wins against him, mm-hmm. and I think that just like you know made his stock skyrocket, so to speak. Well.
Fun fact, Michael Bisping was the favorite in 15 of his fights at the Open.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many I had, but that's probably 50-50, I'd say. I think I had 30 fights in the UFC. Anywho, Harrington, come on then. Come on, we'll give you one stab at this. Make it a good one. One stab. Right, we've got lots of news to get to. We've got lots mm-hmm. of fights to highlight. We've got Nate Diaz. We've got Jake Paul. We've got Tommy Fury. We got shit going down. What have you got for us?
In the MMA world or non-MMA world? I want to make sure I clarify this.
Non-MMA.
Okay. Let's go.
Simply because there's a video involved in this one. I think I want to go with this one first. Did you see...
What number is it? Because I'm looking at them right now. And number they're all
five.
Terrible.
Number five.
Oh, that is... that. I looked at these and I'm like... That would be my least, you know, but go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Break. So this is a creative attempt was made by a family in Vermont. Their son got into a bit of a scuffle. He was wanted for burglary and assault. Right. So the police came to the home to try to arrest the man, and the parents intervened on their son's behalf. Brian?
Roll tape.
Easy arrest instead look like this.
It could have been, sir, turn around, put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest for an assault. And they would have just driven away.
Last Tuesday, police arrived at a Hardwick home to arrest 24-year-old Brandon Tallman on burglary and assault charges.
He does not look like he regrets anything.
A few days before, when troopers Skylar Velasquez and Gabe Schrauf arrived, black dress and white sneakers, you can see her holding on to her son and getting into a scuffle with police as they
The dad's in a tractor.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
he's got an excavator.
His dad, Wayne Tallman, gets into the cab of an excavator parked in the driveway. Uh-huh.
They don't have a scene or a scenario.
Just pause it. Exactly.
It looks like the mom's in there too. She's getting arrested right along with him.
Yeah, but you know, is this, you know, it happens every day.
I've seen that before. But the tractor? What happens with the tractor?
Well, roll tape. I have no idea where this is going.
And uses it as a weapon, then swinging it at police.
Oh, yeah.
Trooper Schrauf points his gun at him, but doesn't pull the trigger. Captain was not there that day, but he says the troopers made good decisions.
It was a dangerous situation that you guys were put in. And in the end...
All right, fuck it off. I think my dad might have, I don't know, wrestled with a copper or two over the years in my honor. But I think, and you know more about guns than I ever will know. If he had a shot at that fucking digger, that could have ricocheted off and killed one of the other people, right?
I probably would have went right through a window. If it hit the metal,
if it hit the thing, if it hit the digger.
Oh, yeah. That could have been bad.
Ding! Don't pump up down.
Yeah, that would have been.
Someone's dead.
Yeah. Someone could have been, for sure.
No half measures. Look at what this guy a few years ago did this.
Who are we talking about?
The Killdozer.
Oh, my God.
If you're going to stop cops,
dude, there's a documentary. There's a
documentary. What the hell is a Killdozer? Go on, man.
There's a documentary about this guy. It's a really long documentary, but long story short, he's like mad at the entire world, right? And he's got all this money and he sells his business, but then he has the shop, like his big bay. So he sells all the property, all the equipment, except for this dozer, and rents his own bay back from the people he sold it to. He puts this dozer in for like a year and a half. He's putting fucking metal on it and turned it into a tank, and then just ripped through the whole city. He put like little holes through there with like 50 caliber rifles.
Through the whole city, what do you mean by that?
To be fair, he didn't kill anybody, and he only destroyed the property of the offending party.
Right. So it was like he went to like the library, and then he went to like the police department, and he just fucking bulldozed everything out of the way. And he was shooting at the cops, and like everything was so fortified with this thick metal.
He never shot at the cops. The cops were shooting at him.
Well, who was he shooting at through
himself?
Well, he had the 50 caliber rounds like going through the holes in the side of it, like 50 caliber rifles.
He sounds disturbed, very, very.
This shit went on
person.
Forever. It went on forever because they couldn't stop it. There was no way to stop it. He had little tiny cameras, and that's how he was driving. It was completely enclosed except for the cameras on the front and the sides and the back. So he's driving it through fucking screens on the inside, just tearing buildings down, and it was off. It was
a suicide mission, essentially. Yeah. He welded himself in and knew he was going to kill himself when he was done.
Yeah, they usually are, though, aren't they? Unfortunately, when people go on things like that, it is like a very, very elaborate way of committing suicide, because it usually always results in the, I don't know what the word would be, the perpetrator.
If you get some time, though, it's a really interesting documentary because they kind of walk through what led him to doing that, and then the process he took to get it done, and then all the
what's it called? Killdozer?
I don't remember what the documentary
is. It should
called.
Be called Killdozer. If it's not, the producer's fucked up.
If it's not, that should be the name of this episode.
Killdozer. There you go. I like it. All right. Anyway, well, Killdozers aside, in Harrington, I actually thought, I was wondering or hoping that you would mention, where is it? No, don't want to bring that one up either. What's the biggest story in MMA right now, Harrington? As if I'm asking him this. We'll just go with number one, actually. We'll just go with that. Come on, Harrington. Break it down for Anthony Smith like he doesn't know, but he does know, but more for the viewers at home.
He doesn't know.
I don't know.
I think I'm getting there. Nate Diaz last night, he tweeted out that he either wants his release or he wants a fight in June or July because he has more important things to be doing, along with a gif of Tyron Woodley getting knocked out at the hands of Jake Paul. Dana White was asked about it by the Mac Life guys, and he responded saying, look, we're not talking about Kamaru Usman here. The guy is not, you know, he's not fighting for a title anytime soon. Realistically, he should probably fight Jake Paul next. That makes the most sense. Nate Diaz then responded seeing it and just said, all right, give me my release then.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've had this conversation a bunch of times, haven't we, really, about Nate Diaz, so I don't really want to go over it. But he wants to go fight Jake Paul by the sounds of it. And, hey, like Dana said, he should do that. But when he's done with the UFC, when his contract's up, that would be a smart move. It would be a very lucrative move for him to make.
Yeah, I again, it sounds like you hear all this stuff in the media, and he said this and he said that. Like, it's all negotiating tactics. You know, I don't believe a word of it. You know what I mean? Because it's all like Dana's going to dismiss whatever Nate's asking for. And like him saying it's not Kamaru Usman tells me that he's asking for crazy money that Dana doesn't think he's worth it. So, like, I think that when he's done fighting in the UFC, I think that a Jake Paul fight would make sense, and I would buy the pay-per-view to watch it.
Yeah. But the one fight, who would you suggest? I did a video, I think it came out today on YouTube or yesterday. I think you should fight Hamzat. Not from Nate Diaz's perspective. Listen, UFC, they make the fights. They call the shots. Nate Diaz has got one fight left. The UFC have to offer him a fight. You know, they have to contractually offer him a fight. Otherwise, Nate Diaz can walk. Mm-hmm. And Nate Diaz, for those people that don't know, has to either accept the fight, or if he doesn't accept the fight, the contract will roll over for another year. So I got a lot of shit from everyone in the comments because I said, if it's my organization, if I'm running the show, and this is just the way it is, if Nate Diaz is going to leave, and that's his prerogative, of course, and of course he's generated millions of dollars. He's put on legendary fights. The man is a legend in his own right. And I always enjoy watching him fight. But if he's going to choose to leave, cut ties and go do his own thing, then you're not going to give him a fight that A, doesn't get you value for money for what you're going to pay the guy, which will be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But B, more importantly, give him like a fucking massive victory that is going to be the talk of the town, and then he fucks off and takes his skills elsewhere. You're going to give him a fight that ticks all the boxes, A, that everyone wants to see, B, that they get the money for them, the money's worth out of it, and C, that potentially someone, well, it's a competitive fight, not a gimmick, not an easy fight. You know, and I say Hamzat should be that person as the co-main event on UFC 278, which is Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, and then they've got the perfect backup just in case someone gets injured. God forbid one of them guys can step up into the main event.
You should text that to Dana. That's genius.
I'm sure he's thought about it.
From what I understand, again, I don't know anything about their contract stuff, but it seems like he's been offered that fight before and just hasn't taken it. So, I mean, that's a tough fight.
But if he wants out of his contract, which he does, which is what he keeps talking about.
Right. It extends it like every 6 months, every time you turn a fight down.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure. But who knows? Maybe his contract's different, but it will.
It might be. Yeah. It will extend it, whatever that is, whether it's 6 months or a year. But no matter what, once he fights, he's out. So they could extend it 10 fucking years if they want to. The second he fights, it's done. But he has to fight.
Yes. Yeah. He has to fight. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see who it is. Obviously, McGregor's the easy one, but McGregor's not fighting anytime soon. So anyway, what else have we got? Sugar Sean O'Malley's grabbing headlines this week. Oh, did you see this? He said that DC wants him to lose. DC said he doesn't really give a shit either way. Did you see that DC was talking about it in a video?
Yeah, I did. I seen he was on DC and RC. O'Malley was, and kind of came at DC a little bit, but I just don't think DC wants him to lose. I will Maybe I'm stepping outside the boundaries here just a little bit, but I think...
Hold on one second. Just a bit of context for people that don't know. O'Malley said, if I'm not mistaken, that DC wants Sean O'Malley to lose because he reminds him of John Jones.
Which I think is total bullshit.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is total bullshit. But O'Malley's smart. He's very good in the media. He knows how to get clicks. He knows how to get people to pay attention. I wouldn't disagree that maybe DC feels like he wants to see O'Malley tested. And I've been guilty of that, where I'm not criticizing O'Malley. I'm not saying I want him to lose. I want him to be in tough fights where, you know, we can argue and say the Cheeto fight was pretty competitive and he lost and his body gave out and Cheeto landed a kick and he went down. But we haven't seen him in a fight where we've had to see the dog kind of come out of him and him have to fight out of adversity. And DC did talk about some of his leg injuries, that anytime we've seen O'Malley compromised or injured, it's the same leg. You know, he's had some leg issues. So I would guess that that's what DC's saying. I don't actually know, but I would agree if that's what DC's saying. I'd like to see O'Malley tested. I want to see him pushed really, really hard. I love watching him fight. I think he's fantastic. He's a wizard in there. But
O'Malley's a star. He's such a star, man. It's unbelievable. And because he's got the whole package. Listen, regardless of what you think of his opponents, and he even said, he's been very honest, saying, hey, he wanted to take his time. He didn't want to fight the top guys under the current contract he was on. And I kind of like the way he handled his career. You know what I mean? He's been with the UFC for a few years now. Now he's fighting Pedro Munhoz, who's number 10. Granted, on a bit of a skid recently. But still, he's still ranked number 10 at bantamweight, so it's a real fight. And if he beats him, then he's in the deep end. You know what I mean? And listen, number one, when you're watching fight, it's sensational. I love the skill on display. I love the striking. You know, his awareness, his footwork, the speed, the shot selection. He's very good. And then you combine that with everything else. You know, the hair, the suits, the dress, the flamboyant personality. I like him a lot. I'm a big fan. I just think, you know, as fighters, we're all emotional creatures. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, you were getting annoyed at the odds and this and that. And if he's watching the commentary back, because we all watch our fights back, of course. And then, you know, because you got to give a balanced commentary. You know, you got to try anyway. You know, you got to try and say good and bad about people. And then it's just a human response that we seem to cling on to the negatives as opposed to the positives. Do you know what I mean? Why is it? It's like sometimes if you're going through Instagram comments or whatever, you know, you see lots of nice ones, but it's the little shitty one that you respond to, you know, which is stupid. You shouldn't do that. But as I say, it triggers something in the human mind to where it's the negative stuff that stands out. So I'm sure DC, I can't remember the commentary. I'm sure DC says lots of great stuff, but he might have criticized one or two things. And that's what O'Malley was jumping on.
It was. And it was all about the leg stuff. And DC even explained it to him and said, look, he explained it kind of very similar to what you said. Like, we have to be balanced here. And the only chink in your armor we've ever seen is the issues with the leg stuff, the Cheeto fight. And then there was one time where Rogan did the interview
on the floor
with O'Malley sitting on the floor because of the leg issues, because he couldn't stand. So DC was like, that's really the only chink that we've seen. So, of course, we have to bring it up because we have to have a balanced commentary. And, you know, but here's the deal. Fighters don't understand that because they don't sit in our seats. They don't understand the stuff that we have to do, the job that we have. Every time I have a fighter come at me or say something about something I said at the desk or whatever, I just want to like, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to bring you to the desk, get a fucking suit. Make sure you spend hours and hours and hours studying. Sit down. That red light's going to fucking go off, and then you're going to have to answer these questions. Like, no matter who it is, whether it's a training partner, it's someone you like, someone you don't like, and then you got to make a prediction, and then I'm going to fucking hold you to it. Like, it's not as easy as it looks, and we're put in impossible situations sometimes.
And then if a fight goes down and you're one of your friends or training partners or someone you're linked to loses a fight, you've then got to go on about how great the guy is that beat him. Do you know what I mean? Because that's just how it goes. You have to celebrate the victor.
That's your job.
And that's why sometimes on this podcast, because I fucking get carried away sometimes, and we say silly things. Well, I do anyway. Mm-hmm. You bring a level of maturity that I aspire.
Oh, no. Every time we do one of these things, MMA fighting or some other guy. Oh, dude.
Fucking Dan Bilzerian and Cowboy Cerrone are coming for you.
I'm not even talking about it again because I tried to clear it up and it got worse.
Bro, I saw the schmo asked you about it. I wasn't going to bring it up on the podcast. I think Harrington put it in the notes as a little shit stirrer. But I didn't. I'm like, no, he said it. But the point I'm making is that's why sometimes when I'm talking about a fighter and I'll make a joke or whatever. In fact, I was doing it recently on a live. And then afterwards, I kind of get a little bit paranoid because I don't want that fighter to see it and think that I don't have respect for them. Of course I have fucking respect, but I'm just being silly. I'm goofing around. We're having a laugh. We're being very jovial and silly. But often, taken out of context, it can sound terrible, certainly when it's typed up in black and white. You know what I mean? But it is tough. Anyway.
I would like to point out that I did no such a thing. I would never stir the pot ever once. That's not my MO. But I do have some news for you on Donald Cerrone. He is going to be filling in for Bobby Green against Jim Miller at UFC 276 in 2 weeks.
Nice. Yeah. No, I saw that early. That's fantastic. I'm happy for Donald. I'm kind of gutted for Joe Lozon, though.
Yeah. That sucks. Okay. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about this on Monday show.
Okay, yeah.
You're fine. You're fine, buddy. Yeah, his leg just kind of seized up for a while, locked up or whatever. Now he's totally fine.
Anthony Smith doesn't even watch his own podcast.
Jesus. You see that, boys? See that, everyone? God. Doesn't even watch his own comments. Podcast. I'm in the comments. I'm typing to people. Brian's masquerading as me, saying all kinds of wild shit in the comment section.
Tell everybody it's me.
I
need to start getting those. I need to start getting those comments. That's what I need to start doing.
You need to get in there, Smith. You need to help that algorithm. What were we talking about? Oh, Joe Lowe's. Donald Cerrone. Yeah. I mean, good for him. Oh no, you're right. It is the perfect fight because Jim Miller's a longtime veteran, as is Donald. Boom. Perfect fight. Commiserations, Bobby Green. I think he's got an injury. I'm not sure what that is, but. Yeah, Joe Lozon. I would have thought that they would rebook that.
Dana said he's not going to.
I know.
I seen something came out, which sucks because that's such a good fight. Such a good fight. But Jim Miller part of me feels like they've already fought before. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they've both been around since the prehistoric ages. So there's a possibility. Like
they have fought before. It's a rematch.
Okay, who won? Cowboy? Submission? No, it was a knockout. What was it, Harrington?
I'd say Jim Miller. I remember got a submission.
I think Cowboy head kicked him. I do remember like seeing the highlight of
two of the
Cowboy
best analysts and commentators in the game guessing the results of a UFC fight that went down in the bygone era.
Final prediction, Mike?
Final prediction. I'm going to go with Donald Cerrone head kick round 2, 3:42.
3:31. So close.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that.
It was a head kick though. I just remember what it looks like when Jim Miller's falling backwards. He kind of like dipped into a head kick.
Yeah, it was there in the subconscious. Harrington, come back on. Jorge Masvidal's been having a go at Conor McGregor. You know we like to talk about these guys, and you guys like to hear us talk about those guys. Or we could talk about, you know, some random people that you've never heard of. But go ahead, Harrington.
So Jorge Masvidal says that he wants to get this Conor McGregor fight in before Conor McGregor overdoses on cocaine. He says that he...
exactly.
This is a direct quote from Game Bread himself. He also says...
Yeah, oh, hold on. You haven't heard that? You haven't seen that?
No, I've been in the gym. I've been in the trenches. I missed that.
He also says that he would put the BMF belt on the line as long as McGregor is willing to put a couple million of his in escrow on top of whatever the fight purse is.
Yeah, but why would McGregor put an extra couple of million if he's going to put the BMF belt on the line?
Because I think he's saying that if McGregor wins, that he takes the belt. If Masvidal wins, and he takes the couple million.
Yeah, I know, but that's not how it works. You put a belt on the line, the winner takes it. You don't have to put an extra 2 million in there just to tempt it. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's just thinking Conor doesn't give a fuck about the BMF belt.
Yeah. Anyway, Conor's not going to overdose on cocaine.
Unlikely. He's probably got that really good cocaine. That good cocaine I hear is hard to overdose.
He's got that pure shit. He's got that pure shit. He could probably sleep off it very well.
What do you think he bought the yacht for?
Yeah, exactly. He's all of a sudden he's an international drug dealer. Nah, you're gonna overdose. Mike Tyson was apparently, I wasn't there in the 80s and 90s. Apparently he was shoveling a lot of cocaine up his nose. Like when he fought, when he lost to Buster Douglas.
Shoveling.
When he fought Buster Douglas, he was smashing hookers all week, doing lines of cocaine, because he just thought that the fight was a gimme. It was, right. You know, it was a foregone conclusion. So he was just getting wasted and had teams of hookers coming in. I mean, I'm sure he had a wild old time, but then, of course, he got knocked out.
It's called cardio, Mike?
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Conditioning.
Hip thrust. Conditioning. But still.
Masvidal's been coming at Conor pretty hard. He's been coming at Conor real hard. Yeah. And surprisingly, Conor hasn't really responded that much. A little bit, you know, called him a pea brain that one time or a pea whatever, brain. But called him a pea brain. Yeah, I don't, I guess I've just expected, we haven't seen Conor in a microphone yet. He does much better with the microphone, I think. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is, but he seemingly hasn't really come back at Masvidal nearly as hard as Masvidal's coming to him.
Who do you think he'll fight when he comes back? McGregor? Because I don't think it's going to be Diaz. Because Diaz, I think by then,
I don't think it's
gone.
Diaz. Yeah, I don't think it's Diaz. I don't think it's. It can't be Masvidal, right? Maybe Masvidal might be the best chance. Yeah, it might be. Every part of me says, "Oh, it's definitely not going to be Masvidal."
Hey,
but the more I think about it, it might be Masvidal.
As long as Masvidal isn't serving time, which by the way, I'm not hoping that on him. You know what I mean? I'm not wishing that upon him, pardon me, but he has got that court case going on with Colby Covington. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too serious. And I think the fact that the other combatant in this is Colby Covington, another trained fighter, it's not like he went up and allegedly assaulted a random
like they had just fought and Colby did just fine.
They just fought and Colby did just fine. You're right. He dominated the fight. Yeah.
Right. It's not like he beat up someone who couldn't defend themselves.
I think when it comes to sentencing, they will, you know, I think that will come into it. If he's found guilty,
I think those details matter. So if he does end up in a sentencing hearing and that comes up, I think that it's real easy to bring in the things that Colby said. I mean, there's something to be like, what is that saying? You even get 2 minutes in the penalty box for instigating, you know, in hockey. Like,
oh, do you really?
I think so. I don't know shit about hockey.
No, it's interesting. I know. Fuck all. I'm not in my head here. Like, yes.
But anyway, like there's something to be said for being instigated and being poked and prodded and whatever. And I understand that we're supposed to be professionals and act professionally and whatever. But honestly, like we're not all from the greatest backgrounds, you know, like we weren't coddled NBA players that were superstars from the time we were in middle school and brought up as superstars. We're hardened fucking street kids that just tripped up and fell into a career.
That sums it up perfectly. But you are right though, because I think, I mean, just if we sit here and break it down, a UFC fighter that he has history with, that's a similar size, that just fought, that got beat off the guy, that talked a ton of shit about his wife, his kids, or he didn't talk shit about, but he alleged some, you know, there was some shit talk. People get annoyed when I say that, but fuck it. He talked a lot of shit. He called him a bad father and he called him a bad husband. Okay. That's personal stuff. So that guy goes up
to the whole world. He didn't just say it to him, to the whole world.
He said it to the whole world. He put that narrative out there. And that guy loses his shit and cracks him one, right? Mm-hmm. Compare that to a world-class, world-famous UFC fighter just deciding to start a fight with an innocent guy that can't fight to save his life, that's never done any form of martial arts or combat training, that's half his size. Do you know what I mean? They're not the same thing. So when you look at that, if and when it came to sentencing, I think the judge would absolutely take that into consideration. I think for the most part, Masvidal, if he's found guilty after the trial, which could be like MMA's version of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, could be awesome.
I hope so.
I hope they stream that.
Oh, my God. It'd be amazing. They have to.
I'm doing fucking...
But listen, and Connor's done that. Connor's done worse things. John Jones has done worse things. And neither one of those guys ended up with any jail time. So, John T-boned a lady in a car drunk. Connor hit an old man in a bar, attacked a bus. Lots of people didn't get a fight and ended up with probation. So, like, I think Masvidal will be okay.
Yeah, it's the previous, though. I think he's, I don't know. He might have done a little time. But anyway, who cares? But it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'm not sure what got us onto this. But talking of sentencing, Harrington, there was a story there where somebody got off with a heinous crime, wasn't there, because of insanity or something?
Yeah, so it was, I don't know if you remember this, back in 2017, some guy drove his car into a crowd of people.
Lean away from the microphone.
Sorry. A gentleman drove his car into a crowd of people in Times Square. One person was killed, a tourist, and 22 others were injured. Well, he just got through sentencing. He went to a jury trial, and the jury found that his insanity plea was acceptable. So he's going to get off scot-free.
Where was this?
This is in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I remember this now, yeah.
So is he going to like a some sort of facility to like get some mental health, or are they just saying he was just insane in that moment?
Yeah, Harrington, come on, you got to follow up.
So I know that he is a war vet and he's claiming temporary insanity. I do know that he was screaming the words, "I wanted to kill them all," when he got arrested. I will look into right now and see what where he's being remanded.
Yeah, I'm sure if he was a war veteran and he saw active service, I'm sure there is PTSD there, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going on upstairs.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse it. We got to take better care of some of these vets.
Oh, 100%.
The cops say he admitted to smoking PCP. So
that'll make you temporarily insane for sure.
Yeah.
Fucking right, it was PCP, angel dust. Do you know what this stuff does to kids? What's that movie?
Angel dust, Holmes. No, I don't
know.
What's
that movie?
I don't know.
Ryan, what's that movie? PCP, angel dust. Do you know what this stuff does to kids?
Brian? Brian?
Anybody?
I got nothing.
Trading Places, bro. Have you seen Trading Places,
Anthony?
It's
been a long time.
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. You haven't seen Anchorman?
I haven't.
You haven't seen Trading Places? It is a classic Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd movie.
Well, I'm going to have to add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
I got the Netflix machine right over there.
We're going to sit down on this couch. We're going to add it to the many long list of activities that we're never
going to
do.
Sleep over at the Bisbing's house. We have got to do some of these goddamn activities.
We are. We're going
to fucking have to.
We're waiting for you to get out of camp, and then we'll sort it out. It's not something you can worry about right now.
Okay. Yeah, no, my schedule is just back end of this year for me is fucked. Yeah, we're gonna do Netflix and chill. You know, we'll get
Netflix,
some
Netflix and chill.
Not in the literal meaning, because that means to have sex, if I'm not mistaken. Anthony, with Netflix
well,
and
I guess if we
tonight.
Have to for the believers.
For the believers, you can't say we're not committed, okay?
Right.
Anthony,
we're here.
Wear a rubber, please.
No.
This whole trip thing's been a ploy. These much bigger men are just trying to get me and Harrington to come out.
Yeah, and rape you both. Anyway, let's get this back on track real quick. Fights this weekend, Armin Sarukyan and Mateus Gamrot. Do you know those guys? Because I know you're deep in camp right now.
No, I'm super deep in camp right now. I'm working International Fight Week. And I haven't even looked at that one yet either.
Well, let me tell you this. Just real quick.
Gamrot's really tough, though.
Gamrot's unbelievable. Off the top of my head, something like 22-1, I think his record is. Armin Sarukyan, only one loss in the UFC to Islam Makhachev. Took the fight on short notice. Very, very close fight. Ridiculously close. I'm telling you, these are the two, probably two of the most, not the two, but two of the most technical fighters at 155. So it's going to be a sick fight. Then you got Neil Magny, Shavkat Rakhmonov. Rakhmonov is 15-0, finishes.
Rakhmonov is a monster. I was talking about him today here at the gym with Weidman and the owner of the gym, the head coach, Jeff. He's almost perfect when you watch him fight. Anytime I've worked any of his events, I've walked out and watched it, made sure that I walked down or walked out and watched him cage side, because he's magical. Like his positioning is always, dude, like everything he does looks very effortlessly. Like it's effortless. His jiu-jitsu is super smooth. His takedown defense and offense is, that guy is good.
Yeah.
That guy's so good.
And he's got no weak areas at all. Maybe the only weak area would be in the post-fight interview, because he called me out on this afterwards, because we were doing the fighter interview yesterday and we're doing it through the translator.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they went, blah, 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 whatever language you talk, maybe Russian. Kyrgyz, where's he from? Dagestan? No. Kazakhstan.
Kazakh.
Maybe they speak Russian. I don't know. Kazakh. They speak, and then the translator turns around and says, Michael, listen, he said one thing only. This time you let him have longer time on microphone. He needs more time to speak, more time to speak on microphone. And I remember it. I said, hey, buddy, listen, well, you got to do a better fucking job as a translator. I remember last time we were trying to translate and the translator got all like shy and,
clusterfucked. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nerve wracking moment. They're on TV. There's cameras everywhere. I get it. But like you weren't talking anything. A lot of time was passing by. And then in my ear, I get rap. You know what I mean? It's like, it's over. We got to move on with the TV schedule. I am not right now holding this microphone in charge of ESPN. I don't control ESPN. I'm not like,
you're a robot.
Me. It's my show. It's my TV channel. No, it doesn't work like that. But no, he's great. But he's fighting Neil Magny. Do you know Neil?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Crazy good experience. Really good conditioning. Good in the clinch.
Go on, sorry.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a test for Rachmaninoff, just because Neil is, he's very unorthodox. He's long and hard to get to. He's crazy, crazy tall and long for the division. And Neil just has a gas tank that just never fucking empties. He'll just go and go and go. So as long as Neil can kind of weather the storm at the beginning and push and pressure and try to, you know, try to wear him out a little bit, I think he'll be okay. I don't know if he'll win, but I think he can make a fight.
Yeah. You can never count out Neil Magny, but he really impressed me with what he said yesterday. When I was talking to him, I said, so obviously, Neil, you've been around the UFC for a long time now. You fought all styles. Everyone's very familiar with you and your body of work. I said, what was the feeling, though, when you get the email from Sean Shelby? You know what this is like, Anthony. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Mick that you deal with or Sean. Yeah,
Mick.
But you know, you get the email. You're like, oh, here it is. You open it up. It's like, there's a name, you know what I mean? I said, what was the emotion? What did you think when you saw Shavkat Rachmaninoff, a guy that's 15-0, all finishes, but with the greatest respect to the guy, not very well known to the casuals, to the masses. There you go. Mm-hmm. You know, but a really tough test. And he said, I loved it. I want, and of course, this sounds like a cliched thing. All fighters say, I want to test myself against the best. But not everybody means that. Not a lot of people do. He said, I don't want to have fights that I know I'm going to win. He said, some fighters might want that, and some fighters do. Some fighters look for fights that they're guaranteed to win. He said, I don't want that. He said, I want to have fights where I'm not sure. You know, I said, I want to test myself. I want to raise my game. He said, of course, this guy's tough. I understand I'm probably going to be the underdog, but I'm going to do everything I can to get better and beat this guy. And he went on, he elaborated for a while. But just everything he was saying, I was really taken aback by. I said, that's why you're the fucking man. I said, I wish more. And a lot of fighters, the majority of fighters kind of have that attitude. But I was really
he definitely means it
words.
Though. Yeah. He definitely means it though. Neil's that type of guy. It's a good fight. I think it's going to be a tougher. I think a lot of people expect Rachmaninoff to kind of just bust out through Neil. And I think Neil's going to make it tougher than that.
Today we are welcoming back IP Vanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IP Vanish. Okay, you're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on. Okay, IP Vanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is ipvanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay, where were we? Next week, obviously, we got UFC 276. It's going to be a good one. Fucking what a sick fight card. Are you working that event, Anthony?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, they asked me to do it, but I'll be in Cancun. I'll be on holiday.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh,
I bet you're so sad you're missing it to go to Cancun.
I am, because International Fight Week's a big deal, isn't it?
It is.
Not only did I get
a lot of money,
there's a lot of money left on the fucking table, because I could have worked it for ESPN. And then there's all kinds of experiences and seminars and expos and shit,
and
like
signings
that.
Signings. And
I got offered
I'm doing five or six appearances. Yeah, I got a couple.
Instead of paying to go to Mexico with my wife and kids.
I got an after party that I got offered today. It's like, they're like, yeah, after you get off the post show, you just got to go to this party. And I was like, and do what? They're like, no, you just have to go.
Yeah.
Like, for how long? Like, as long as you want to. Like, and I get paid for that? Like, yeah.
Just
like, okay.
Will you come to my nightclub, walk in for free, look like a big deal, go up to the very expensive exclusive table, which has been reserved and has like VIP Anthony Smith's coming soon, all that, and then sit down, drink as much expensive alcohol as you want, and then leave whenever you want, and we'll give you a nice check on your way out. Is that okay?
That's the Michael Bisping life right there. I'm just getting a little taste of it.
It used to be, buddy. Fucking hell. Those days are long gone, let me tell you. I can't remember the last time I was in a nightclub. Oh, Singapore.
Two weeks ago.
It was shit, though. It wasn't a nightclub as such. Fucking hell. There was about three people in it on top of a skyscraper. But Jesus. I'm not a nightclub type of guy. I can't imagine
You still live that champ life. Don't lie. A little bit.
I have my moments,
because I'm surrounded by, like, it feels like lately I'm just surrounded by all these world champions, because you got Chris Weidman out here, I got Michael Bisping right here, like I'm just over here in my tiny little normal person house and all my broke shit, and you guys are just living that's what I call cows, Weidman is the champ,
the camels
life.
The chickens, the hens, the fucking raptors, the
you know how many fucking poor people have that shit?
Well,
lots of poor people have cows.
Yeah, exactly. They're out there fucking milking them on a daily. What was I going to say? Well, you'll be there soon, Anthony.
I'll be there.
You will.
I'll fucking be there.
I was going to say, you don't seem like a nightclub type of guy.
Not really. More of a dive bar kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go get my check, though.
Well, fucking right, you will.
I'll go get my check.
Well, as well, sometimes. I remember when I first started fighting for the UFC and the after parties and stuff like that. I was like, what? I was like, oh my God. Anyway, Harrington, any big stories that we haven't got to, or, you know, or that we should address right now on this show? Because we got UFC 276 next week. We'll do a preview show for that. We'll go through them. We'll make predictions. So we're saving all that chatter and noise and nonsense for next week. Anything we should get to this week, Harrington?
Yeah, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on this. Is there trouble in paradise with the Smash Bros, right? We know that Darren Till has a fight scheduled against Jack the Joker Hermanson. Yesterday, Hermanson posted on his Instagram a still of him clearly in training with Khamzat Chimaev.
No, I don't believe it.
I don't believe this.
Brian, No way.
I can't.
This is number one bullshit.
If this is true, I'm leaving right now.
This is number one bullshit.
No way.
Listen. I go down.
And Khamzat fucking commented on it.
What did he say, bro?
What did he say? A heart and a finger.
Just
and a
pile of emojis. But it looks like a Photoshop to me, guys.
Getting some rounds in with the wolf. Brother, listen.
Are you sure? Lad,
I go down to Jack Hermanson, I train with this guy, I get secrets, I get heel hook, things like this. I come back, I tell you. Sound lad. There's no way. There's no way. I don't believe it. I'm going to text Darren Till right now. Should we call him?
Let's see if he picks up. You should FaceTime him.
I will do. I will. Yeah. Darren Till knew.
I'll clean this part up.
No, you're good. Okay. You're good. That's fucking, you don't have to clean it up.
Yeah, we're fucking professionals here. People don't care. Oh, he better pick up.
Come on. Just as Darren Till. All right.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no numbers.
All right.
Come on.
What's going on? It's on the wrong way. What am I doing? I'm trying to show you.
Yeah.
Where's the camera? this is awful podcasting. It's not going to fucking pick up, is it? Oh my god!
What a no. you got Chimaev's number? Call him and ask him.
I don't.
Damn it!
Hold on, let me leave him a voice.
I have his email address. Do you want me to hit him up.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. You're going to email. I don't think he's going to see it, and then he's going to call back all in real time for the podcast. That's like pre-production stuff.
Well, we need to get to the bottom of this by Monday.
I'm heartbroken for Darren. He FaceTimed me yesterday when I was in the garage lifting weights. I couldn't pick up because I was mid-set, bro. You know what I mean?
Mid-set.
Maybe
he was calling he needed a fucking friend because his smesh bro left him and you left him hanging. All he needed was a friend.
I called him back and he never picked up.
Oh, didn't it? Damn it.
He's depressed.
God.
Fucking Hamzat Chimaev.
Darren Till, if you're out there and you're listening, you can call me anytime and I'll answer. I got your back because that's terrible.
I know.
I'm disappointed. If that's true, I'm disappointed. Can't just he got all Till secrets and took him to Hermanson.
Fucking the wolf, man. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Does it even work? It's the wrong way around.
Funny though.
Anyway, we'll finish up with a few questions. We're just filling out. We're talking absolute bloody nonsense. But people like this. In fact, go on, Hamilton. I'll give you one more stab. Take another non-MMA and throw it at us.
A non-MMA. Okay. I had a good one cooked up for MMA, but this one
What was the good one for MMA?
Dana White said yesterday that given a win over Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski would 100% have his blessing to move up to 155 and challenge some guys there. I wanted to get you guys' take on that.
He said that a while ago as well, Hamilton. He said it after Volkanovski's last fight. He said, listen, he can do whatever he wants. And rightly so, Anthony.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that another win over it's like how many times you got to keep beating that guy? Like Max Holloway, so good, and these guys are so closely matched. It's like I think that more so than just winning a fight over the same guy three times in a division that's as stacked like that is hard. But doing it over a guy like Max Holloway, that's three huge opportunities in fights that are so closely contested. You do it enough times, he's going to beat you. So like the numbers aren't on the side of Volkanovski. It's not it's kind of fucked up. It's not fair because you fight the dude enough times, he's going to beat you. Because if they fight 10 times, maybe Volkanovski wins six of them. Like, when does Max start winning his four? You know, like it seems fucked up, to be honest with you.
This is exactly what I've been saying because they're so evenly matched and those two fights were so close.
If they're coin flips. Like, how many times can you do that?
Coin flips. You can make an argument either way. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Volkanovski got the nod, and I'll never discredit and take away from a champion's victory. You know, but if Holloway got it, so be it. You know what I mean? Wasn't a robbery, but Volkanovski got it. And to your point, at some point you fight each other enough. I'm repeating your point, but it's completely true. So you know, at some point Holloway's going to win unless someone goes out and gets a finish, and that's what Max needs to do in this one. He needs to be the aggressor. He can't afford a slow start. He can't afford Volkanovski to get ahead on the scorecards and get an early lead. He's going to be a little bit more reckless in this one. Otherwise, he's going to lose again. And if he loses again, then, you know.
And he's got to move up.
Then Volkanovski is the greatest featherweight of all time, without question.
100%, without a doubt.
Yeah, of course. I think if Volkanovski does beat Holloway again, then I think he should go up and face Oliveira. You know, he's earned that right. He's defended the belt several times. McGregor got to do it. You know, Volkanovski is essentially clearing out. Yeah, there's Josh Emmett. There's Yair Rodriguez as well, potentially. You know, they'd both be good fights. But I am intrigued to see Volkanovski versus Oliveira simply because, you know, well, they're both fantastic. We know that. But Volkanovski used to be huge.
Yeah, it's like 205 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a monster. Yeah, I like it. I love Max. I love Volkanovski. That's one of those fights where I'm just excited that we get to watch it. It's just unfortunate that Volkanovski keeps having to do it.
I think it was Volkanovski that said it's our bloody hell. What we're going to do? Just keep fighting until Max wins one? Do you know what I mean? Because it's like,
Because then what if Max wins? They have to let Volkanovski do it again.
100%
That's only fair.
Let's say Holloway wins the next two. Well, then they're all even. Then they've got to do the fifth. Do you know?
Right.
At what point do they just say, right, stop?
Or if Max wins, then Volkanovski beats him again, but it's close again. We just keep fucking doing it. No, one of you motherfuckers has got to go to a different division.
Listen, one of you just fuck off to another division. We can't keep... You are both, by far, the two best featherweights. We know this, okay? Yeah. Oh dear, it's a great fight though. It what is. A fucking fight! Can't wait for it. All right. Anyway, Harrington, remember? Do you remember the email by now, Anthony Smith? Where do people send questions? I'm going to put you on the spot. Where do people send questions if they have?
Where is it?
Oh Jesus Christ, Harrington! Can you come on in your rather posh?
All right, I'm gonna listen.
Educate this man on where people could send questions.
No, tell me where to do the questions
when they wanted to.
Well, if you'd like to send a question, head on over to bympod@gmail.com.
That's what video I would have question. Said. That's what
he
I would
didn't
said.
Say it.
I know. I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to put out bad information.
Miss 100% of the shots. You don't.
I care about the podcast. Well, I don't want to put out bad information, and there could have been great. But I know, but you know how fucking people are. They just listen, like, oh yeah, that's what it is, and then send all these great questions to some bullshit email that doesn't exist.
Harrington.
If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. We really do appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to the channel and you click that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode may be coming out. And if you'd like to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself 7 days free.
Okay. I don't know why. Okay. That tickles me. I'll be honest. I'm very immature.
I do it all the time. I do it for my wife, the kids.
Okay. Mr. Brian McKay, B. McKay is right on Instagram. What do we have today?
All right. So this first question we have from a Mr. Jordan Kamal.
What's up, Jordan?
Fellas, got a couple of questions for Michael Bisping and Anthony Smith. First question is, would you rather fight 3 Rose Namajunas-sized Francis Ngannous, or would you rather fight 1 Francis Ngannou-sized Rose Namajunas? Now, for the second question, I was thinking about Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka, and the amount of mistakes that they made, as Anthony Smith puts it. I was wondering if those mistakes could be attributed to each fighter being pushed to their absolute limits, just completely exhausted and all technique goes out the window. I was wondering if you guys thought the same, and if you do have any stories about being so exhausted that all tactics just went out the window. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the question. That's 3 questions in one, though. You know,
those
what
are
I'm
great
saying?
Questions, though.
We'll tackle it. But Anthony, I'll let you go first, seeing as you know, he's referencing your comment, I believe.
Okay, I'll skip the. I'll probably let you do the 3 Francis.
No. We're both gonna do that one. We'll go to that. But let's get we'll the boring that. One out of the way.
So I've been getting absolutely fucking roasted for what I said, and then Glover and Jiří come out and say, like, ooh, yeah, I was probably the worst performance of my life. I just didn't fight well, and like, they totally mimicked what I said. I didn't
validated your comments.
Yeah, I didn't take any credit from them. I said that it was a brave performance, that I have nothing but respect for those guys, that's one of the most fucking miserable ways to have to get into a fight. It's terrible. It's not easy, and they did it with bravery. I can't tip my hat enough to those guys. But I said, technically, they were made a lot of mistakes. And the reason, I can't tell you why. There's a lot of reasons that could have happened, because I think that even when they were both fresh, they both made a lot of mistakes. Glover had a couple really early takedowns that he didn't solidify and didn't hold the position, which is not typical of Glover. And the difference in those guys' jiu-jitsu game is so vast. The year he didn't all of a sudden get good at jiu-jitsu and could get up to his feet. That didn't happen. Glover made some mistakes, and Prohaska capitalized on it. Same on the other side of it. And all of those things happened before they were already tired. And once they were tired, then shit just hit the fan, and that's what made the fight more exciting, because they were just exhausted, and you know, exhaustion makes cowards out of men. And that's, you know, not what happened to those guys, because they still were in there doing their thing. So I can't tell you why. It could be the matchup. It could have been the heat there. From what I understand, it was super hot. It could have been the time. It could have been their weight cuts. And it could just be that they match up in such an awful way that they bring the worst out of each other.
And as you say, to combine whichever one of those eventualities it could have been, you're exhausted as well. You know, mm-hmm. it was a high-paced fight, frantic output, you know what I mean? Yeah. And when you get tired, you get sloppy. That's why I always say one of my – of course, you fucking want to be technically as proficient as possible. But on top of that, you need supreme conditioning because I used to weaponize my cardio. I'd put a pace on my opponents because I knew they wouldn't be able to keep up with the pace that I'm going to fight at. And when they start slowing down and start making mistakes and they start getting sloppy, I'm going to take over. I'm going to punish them. I'm going to finish them, you know, because
right. And that almost makes your cardio better. Like,
of course, you feel great. You're like, woohoo.
Yeah. Like I've seen it in your fights where you start seeing, like, you can tell when you notice he's tired because then you almost turn it up just another tick because you're like, okay, it almost it revives you, you know, like you almost are like less tired at that moment. Cause, and then you just pick it up and go, go, go. It's fucking crazy to watch.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Never mind. I was going to make another obscure movie reference. Let me ask you this, Anthony Smith. Three Rose Namajunas sized Francis Ngannou's or one Francis Ngannou sized Rose Namajunas?
I think I'm going to go with the one.
Which one you would rather have?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the one Francis Ngannou sized Rose Namajunas.
But that's terrifying.
It is.
Rose can glide.
But there's just one. But
that's a big Rose.
Yeah, but if there's three Rose-sized Francis's, that's a bunch of hammers coming your way, even if it is 130 pounds.
That's your worst nightmare. It's like three fucking...
It's like three Ninja Turtles just fucking going crazy.
Lumpers jumping on you. Do you know what I mean? Fucking bashing skull in.
I got to go with just the two arms and two legs to deal with.
It's going
to
give me nightmares. Three little fucking mini Francis Ngannous running, chasing you down the street.
Or a monster Rose Namajunas just fucking lumbering around.
Fucking hell, like the Marshmallow Man, but fucking, you know, dead slim. And like a head kicking motherfucker, you know, with a shaved head. That's terrifying as well. Jesus Christ. All right. Good question. Thank you very much. For the record, I'll take a Rose Namajunas. Size Francis Ngannou. Oh, whatever. Yeah. Brian, next one.
Never mind.
We had three, but come on. We got other questions to get to. Anthony's got a life and a training camp and recovery and all that stuff to get to.
This one's from Andre Muniz, and I feel like one of these questions could have been answered if you bought
Mr. Andre Muniz, the fighter?
Andreas Muniz.
Sorry. I thought you said Andre Muniz. He's a UFC fighter.
No.
We should do that. We should have some UFC fighters sending in questions to Anthony Smith talking shit. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna get some to do it. Anyway, go on, Bri.
Hey, what's up, BYM crew? My name's Andres. I'm from Jersey. My first question is to Mike. Mike, at the end of that third round against Anderson Silva, did you go out at all with that knee? Was it for a split second? I know you got right back up. It's just crazy for me to believe how you managed to get up and put a whooping on him to end the fight. That's crazy. And to Anthony, my man, when you fought Jimmy Crew, I saw you were chopping down those thick legs of his. Now, against Ankalaev, is that going to be the same type of game plan? Will that work as well with a wrestler like Ankalaev? Just kind of curious to see what you guys think. Bisping, me and the boys are coming July 16th, Long Island. Hoping you're going to be there. If possible, would love to take a picture with you, man. Love you guys. Sorry you got to work with such a beta like Harrington. Later, guys. God. Take care. Thank you.
So are we, Andreas. So are we. I will not be in Long Island, but Anthony Smith, will you be chopping down the legs of Magomed Ankalaev?
It's maybe. I mean, if it's there, it's there. I don't suspect.
No. Seriously, please just reveal your entire game plan for the world class fighter.
Ankalaev's a fighter. You're a fighter. We stand in opposite stances. So for anybody out there that's never kickboxed at all, there is no greater pain than getting a rear leg kick checked from someone that's standing in the southpaw position. And it's hard to chop them down with that outside leg because you got to kind of pendulum around and they're not nearly as hard. If I can, yeah, I definitely will. He's not really a freestyle or a folk style wrestler anyways. He's more of a Greco guy. So the leg kicks, I don't necessarily think are going to affect him too much. Yeah. But if they're there, I'll absolutely land them. You know, we'll just have to check it out one time and see how he reacts to it. He check punches a lot too, which is where Thiago had a lot had a hard time, where he'll lift the leg, he'll lift the leg to check the kick and then bring the punch afterwards. So if you're if you're not in perfect position, you can get caught there. So you have to be smart.
Yep. When I was fighting southpaws, if I wanted to, because I'm left footed, left handed, you know, so even though I stand orthodox. So if
you're left handed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got one of my main training partners forever, Chris Camozzi, is right handed but fights as a southpaw. It's weird.
I'm left handed, fight orthodox, throw a ball with my right hand. I'm just all over the place. I'm just not very coordinated. But if I wanted to throw a lead leg kick to a southpaw, I would throw a right hand, step forward with my back leg. So then I was in southpaw. And then drop it like that. And often it always landed, actually, because you hide the kick behind the punch and the step.
Right.
Boom.
And they have to address the punch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Anderson Silva, I've talked about that a few times, but thank you. Yeah, I definitely wasn't unconscious. I definitely had my face split open to smithereens, but he lands the knee, the bell goes, I hit the deck, Anderson starts celebrating. I'm on the floor in a crumpled pile of dog shit with blood coming out of my face. And I hear, you know, I see Herb Dean step in, and I don't know what's going on either. I'm like, hold on, is the fight been stopped? Like Anderson was claiming, but I'm like, I'm not out. And that's actually what I said. I look down at the floor and I look up at Herb Dean. I go, I'm not out. A little bit more distressed than that.
Yeah.
And you can hear Herb, he goes, I know, fight's still on. That's what he said. And then I started to get up. But yeah, there we go. Brian, do we have one more?
We do have one more, and it's from a lady.
We welcome the ladies, especially attractive ones like that. Okay, I'll shut up. Go ahead, redhead.
Hi, guys. My name is Diana. I love the podcast, by the way. And my question for all of you today is, what has been your favorite fight of the year so far?
Ooh, Diana, send another question in.
Yeah, we need more Diana.
We need more Dianas. Let's be honest. We've got enough Roland Vixers. We don't want the Roland Vixers, you know, but we want Dianas. What's your favorite fight of the year?
Man, it might be recency bias just because it just happened, but I would put. I mean, I said that I think the Glover Yuri fight was probably the best or the most exciting 205 title fight ever.
It was.
It's probably the best one I've seen this year. It was a good one.
I know, because that's immediately where my mind went. But I must admit, I remember earlier this year losing my mind at some of the fights. What was the first pay? 275, 4, 3, 2, 1. What was it? 270? Was that the first one? That was Francis Ngannou, Cyril Gane.
Mm-hmm.
What was UFC 271?
Fuck, I don't know. We do so many.
It's a little game that we're playing now. We're going to go all the way up to the fives. Fives is next week. No, fives with Glover and Yuri. UFC 270 was Ngannou and Cyril Gane. 271.
Do you remember the next one?
I don't, but I'm going to say Volkanovski, Brian Ortega. No, Chang Sung Jung.
Adesanya Whitaker 2.
271 was.
You're right. Yeah. Adesanya Whitaker 2. Then it must have been.
That was a good one. That was Houston. That was a good card.
Yeah. But to answer the question from the lovely Diana, that's a bit creepy, isn't it? Sorry, Diana. We've gone a bit overboard with that.
She owes us
now.
A question every week, though. From
No, you should.
No, she owes us now.
No, she does. She's bang out of order, making it such a short, to the point, succinct, well delivered question. I'm not having it. No, you need to dither. You need to dally. You know what I mean? You need
make
to
make these questions longer.
You need to really try and get.
What do you do for a living? Where do you live?
Don't say all that. The wrong people are going to make their questions way too long now.
Yeah, yeah, no. If you're a guy and you look like Harrington. Just
keep
don't
it
send
quick.
It in. To the point. Come on. Oh, shit.
I'm kidding. We love you guys.
Oh, of course. I'm just kidding. We don't really. That's it. That's the show. So you're in North Carolina. When do you get home?
I go home Friday night. And then I'm training at home for a couple of days. And then I'll be in Vegas where you're not going to be.
No.
I'm going to train in Vegas Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So
what? How's Chris Weidman doing?
He's good. He's good.
I mean, with the whole leg break and stuff. Yeah,
he beat the shit out of me today. So
yeah, nice.
That fucking
nice.
Guy is good.
He's fucking awesome. Do you know that's one guy I would have liked to have fought? Because I get asked all the time. Who's one guy
That's so funny because he told me the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
In a totally, like, very, very respectful way. Like, not talking
100%.
Because I think I asked a question like, you know, who do you want to fight when you come back? We had talked about the podcast a little bit and how we were talking about his podcast and then this one. And I said, yeah, I should have you on sometime. He's like, I don't know if Bisping likes me. I was like, he's never said anything bad about you. He was like, yeah, there's this weird thing. And we thought we were going to fight. We never did. And then I said, that'd have been a fucking really good fight. And he's like, yeah, that was kind of one that I feel like kind of got away. So
I've had him on. We've had him on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Brian? Yeah. And it was, because there was this weird, you know, of course he was the champ. So I was calling him out and I was talking shit, which is what you do. You know, not if you're Jotzen Pierre, but I am not Jotzen Pierre. Okay. You talk a little bit of shit, right? So that's all I was doing. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah. No, he had nothing but nice things to say.
Yeah. No, of course. And then even after he lost the belt, when we were both still active, there was still a little bit of that competitive tension. That's all it was. But then after I retired, that was all out the window. And yeah, we had him on the podcast. I thought he was great. Chris, you are welcome on here anytime. That's it. That's the show, Anthony.
Yeah. Love you guys. Let's do this shit again Monday.
Oh, God, we will. Well, you take care, ladies and gentlemen. And Anthony Smith, if you'd be nice in the comments, he might come back to his podcast.
Be nice to me.